We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
My goodness, that music, it's so infectious. Woo, man. It just gives you
trance.
Jeff, doesn't it just give you energy hearing that music?
Well, I was asleep before I got
here. So, what is up, everybody, and welcome into the DMVR Nuggets podcast. Jeff's energy is
thoughtful,
thoughtful observance.
It's yes. Like, what's happening?
This is the energy I have on my podcast, which is why it's like one of the top 100 rated Nuggets-based podcasts.
That's a great joke. Guys, we got a great one live in the flesh today. None other than the King of Thornton himself, Jeff Morton.
Hello, hello, hello. How are you both?
Hey, good. You know, the King of Thornton, still true? Still the King of Thornton?
I don't know who lives there now.
If you move elsewhere, do you get to retain the title of King of Thornton?
I hope so, but I'm sure it will go to like someone else.
Thornton, not exactly. Again, I'm from Thornton, not exactly a place that like you're claiming kinghood of. I moved to Broomfield. Claim it. People ask me where I'm from. Broomfield. Broomfield. Lived there for like 6 months.
No, I grew up in Arvada.
Yeah.
And I always thought, maybe I should claim the king of Arvada, but it's 6 and 1/2 dozen the other.
You got to rhyme it though.
Yeah. It's King of Thornton. It's King of Thornton, Jeff Morton.
Yeah.
That's perfect. All the way down here from Thornton, it's the king himself, Jeff Morton.
So great. And then of course, back from a little mini vacation, it's Brendan Vogt.
CHGO. Cool city they got over there.
It's the best,
I prefer our sports culture and our company, but you know.
I don't know. Their sports culture is kind of good.
I know. That was just blatant pandering.
That was such pandering.
Their sports culture is really cool.
Their sports culture is really cool.
I didn't know the river was such a recreational thing. Like, I thought it was a river you looked at but would not go near.
I don't feel like you understand rivers.
Well, no. Like, in the middle of the city. Like, I would not, like.
You've never seen people at, like, the Platte?
I didn't realize it was, like, a little Venice. Like, you just.
Wait, I see what you're saying. Oh, I got
you. Ride their boats.
I got you.
You're talking about the Chicago River?
Yeah.
That's the
one. Have you ever seen a movie?
The man-made manufactured river they have there to get rid of sewage.
I love Jeff's anecdotes. All right. I love his anecdotes.
Looks like I'm wrong again.
Today's show is going to be a great one. In segments 2 and 3, we are going to look at every Nugget number in history. Well, actually, I guess it's just every number. And then we're going to talk about the Nuggets who have worn that number. Who is the greatest? 15. We'll have to get to that debate. We're going to go through all of them.
Finally, it's time.
Because this, later today, 2 o'clock, we at DNVR are going to release ours for all of the Denver sports, the Big Four, for every number. And I got to be honest with you, Jeff, you're going to hate it.
Oh, will I?
Yeah. It tore our company apart. Like, we did this over 2 days. Honestly, am I joking, Kale? Yeah. Like, honest to God, there were, like, people that logged off because they were, like, so mad at the debates that were raging. Raging.
Well, I see. I agree. They'll probably hate it, but I will internally seethe. So
you will just quietly seethe.
Yeah.
So we'll get to that in segments 2 and 3. But first, I want to talk about Jeff. We've been texting.
Yeah. As we do.
And you had an ominous text to me a couple weeks back, prior to you writing, you know, your article from a little bit ago, where you said, Adam, don't stay in it too long where you lose your love of the team, which is a thing that can happen, especially with the Nuggets organization. Like, they've done a very good job over the generations of murdering off their closest fans.
Alienating.
That's why I say there is very few Nuggets fans that go generation through generation. There's very few guys that are like, my top three favorite Nuggets all time are David Thompson, Alex English, and Carmelo.
Right.
It's like very rare. Right. Very, very rare.
Right.
But you said, you know, don't stay in it too long. You know, don't let, you know, don't this or that. Do you feel that way? This is a golden era of Denver Nuggets basketball. Do you feel emotionally detached from it?
Oh, yeah. It's not the same. I could tell you every single player on the 1993-94 Nuggets roster, as everyone knows. Honestly, I've gone through periods in the last 5 years where I've had to remind myself who's on the team.
Mm.
And there's factors to this. Not to plug myself, but I wrote an article on Medium. You can find it. Where I talk about, like, I no longer have the passion that I used to, specifically about covering the Nuggets. I still love the Nuggets.
Yeah.
But it's amazing how you just kind of, like, I've been doing this since 2009. It's a long time to be covering one team. People did. I don't know how people did it, but newspapers for
30, 40 years. Those
retirement posts. I'm always like, oh, so your entire life you did this for your entire.
Yeah, that's what it is.
And I was. I started covering this team. It was the year after the Western Conference Finals here, and I have gone through almost every iteration possible of this Denver Nuggets team. And obviously, as you know, there's other factors into it, but part of the burnout is just you just see the same thing over and over and over and over and over again. And once you know how the sausage is made, it can't help but affect you. And I think I got to the point where I just was so emotionally disconnected from it. I have not, and it's weird to say it, I just am not emotionally attached to this team. And there's people probably watching this right now, seething right now. I do not blame you. It's just, I am not.
Mm.
But this guy here, I'm connected to.
Yeah.
I'm not connected to a single player on this roster.
Do you think it's the players themselves? Do you think it's you? Do you think it's events? Like, do you think it is?
It's not my age, because, you know, D-Line is same age as me.
Yeah.
And he's much more connected to this team. Although he's a typical Denver fan in that he wasn't a Nuggets fan.
Right, right, yeah.
Prior
he's that era. I mean, he knows of it, of course, but yeah.
But he's not connected to it. I am. I've been a hardcore, going back to the late 80s, I'm a hardcore Nuggets fan. And I don't know what it is. I can't really put my finger on it. Now, with covering the team, I felt fairly isolated. And, you know, you read my article. Brendan, did you?
I did.
Okay. And I got to the point where that isolation coupled with the fact that I was suffering from the most burnout I've ever suffered in my life.
Right,
you know, doing this thing and not getting paid for it for 13 years is just, it becomes like, why am I doing this? Why am I devoting my time to this?
You know?
On top of the fact that I am the only gay person in media in Denver. And I felt that crushing isolation, and all that combined to me just like disconnecting. I mean, I don't know how many people who are watching this who listen to my podcast, but I mean, I do one a week now, and it's hard for me to do it. I may get my batteries recharged if the Nuggets become a better...
If they recharge you,
and it's always possible. I mean, the closest I ever came to disconnecting completely from the Nuggets was the 11-win season in 1997-98. That's the worst team I've ever seen in my life.
Right.
it was just... Oh, my God. I could go into stories. But it was so bad. Alex English was doing color for the... Yeah, I think it was Prime Sports still then. And he was so bad at doing the color. Dan Issel was on there, and Dan's a great color guy. But I couldn't even take Alex English.
Really?
And like, I would turn it off. That's the I was 20 years old. And it's the closest I ever come to just like completely like, I love it. But now is kind of approaching that, just because I've just seen so much of this goddamn team.
I'm curious about the sentiment, though, because I just this morning, or maybe it was last night, your buddy, the Ghost of Marv, Ted, right? Ted Chalfin, did I get his name right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's been a very well-known Rockies fan, you know, online. Like, he's a big figure. He just put, either it was last night or today, he's like, I think the Rockies finally got me. Like, he's like, I just don't care anymore.
I saw that
today. And it actually made me sad, because I don't know him well, but I know him through that. Like, I'm always, I'm like... This version of like passion, like really like resonates with me. These people that are so passionate for something that's so unrewarding.
Yeah.
You know, there's something like romantic about it. And so when I see people like that where there's a final death knell, it's like extra sad where you're like, oh my God, like there is a breaking point for everyone.
Can I like throw this back to you guys? This is your podcast. So I'm like, but
make yourself comfortable here, Jeff. It's our podcast today.
But I mean, you're a Cardinals fan. You
we don't talk about that.
We don't acknowledge it, but he is.
Actually, I'm not allowed to.
He's actually less a Cardinals fan and just more of an asshole.
But yeah. It's like a resident of St. Louis.
Never been. It's never, the craziest thing.
It's amazing. But like you I know your journey, and you weren't childhood connected to the Nuggets. Well, like I was, were you?
No, well, part of this is I'm a little bit younger than you, so you were coming of age in Alex English. I was coming of age a little bit. It was, like LaFrance, and, it was a little bit harder to build those deep-seated.
But you had Antonio McDyess.
I had Antonio McDyess. And actually, I had Dikembe Mutombo. My brother had Antonio McDyess. So, it was there, but...
But did you...
The Broncos were winning Super Bowls when I was the age you were for,
See, and I disconnected from the Broncos as soon as they won their second Super Bowl.
Really?
I'm like, they can't climb.
They climb. Yeah, you're a dog chasing a car. Yeah. You're like, what am I do now?
I caught the car now, so I don't need to see this. But how about have you ever faced a burnout like that? I mean, you
is there a team
you're a fan of New York sports?
With the Cardinals, big time.
The Cardinals.
There was, for like 10 years, they did. It was more Spursian than Lakers. It was like drafting. Yeah. It was their guys. Every year you had something to sink your teeth into. And then for the last, 5-6 years, I'm just, it's like you, man, for something I thought would be a lifelong passion, I have to Google some of the guys on the team. But I think, everyone's a little different. I've watched my dad go through burnout and then finds it again. Yeah. I don't know. It's interesting, but I am curious. Do you think, is there something the team could do? Is it winning? Is there just a more personal connection that's kind of harder to put your finger on?
I get maybe a little bit of that. I mean, look, I'm firmly in my mid-40s now, and I was really thinking about this a couple of days ago. It's like, what makes me passionate now? What makes you passionate? I mean, Adam, you've built a company. You've built a company.
Pardon, there are a lot of people involved. I want to make that clear.
I'm not going to solely credit him to the credit of the other people involved. But I mean, you're involved with that big part, and you've got some places to direct your passion. And it's for me, my passion was the Nuggets and podcasting. I mean, CSG's been around since 2011.
Yeah,
and I have been carrying this thing on my back since Timmons left in 2017.
Mm.
So 5 years I've been doing this by myself, and it's like some of it is like you run out of stuff to say.
Yeah.
I don't know what I could say anymore.
I get that.
Like, what is there anything new that I could tell the casual listener about the Denver Nuggets? I know a ton about the history of the Denver Nuggets, but you reach a point of saturation with the history. At some point, you're sort of like, well, how can I repackage what I just said?
Right.
But at the same time, Brendan, you were saying, regaining passion. There is no way you can predict it because it just happens.
Right.
Getting back with an, I'm so sorry with the hand and the affectations here.
You're a very good visual speaker.
But I was rekindled with the Nuggets at the Carmelo Anthony era. The last two Issel years were
so bad. Like, honestly, you were like in the one percentile that bridged the gap there. Like, they lost everybody.
Oh my god, it was so. I mean, the 2002-2003 Nuggets were bad, but they were like easy to root for. Plucky team. The 97-98 Nuggets were just awful.
And there were some unfortunate things that I think pushed people away too. You had the Mahmoud situation, you had the Dan Issel situation, and then you had an ownership sale and all this stuff. So you had a lot of things that, like, if you were on the fence about the Nuggets, they were like, please leave.
and the Nuggets, the thing about the Nuggets were they, even through all that time, this is a little bit into the weeds, and Ascent was selling them, and their main still, after all that losing, their main property was the Nuggets.
Yeah.
Even though the Avalanche
were
wildly successful in winning a Stanley Cup.
The money is different. People don't quite realize.
The money, and it's Josh Kroenke pointing this out, they're losing money, and they're still, they're a successful team. It doesn't compute.
Right.
It's just the money, the situation. More casual fans like basketball because they can identify with it in this way. It's not our national sport like it is in Canada. So anyway, that part was just like, that asset was sold, but they were so mismanaged and so terrible. It was hard to look past that, but I think what helped was that I was in my early, from about 2000, 2003, by 2003, I'm 25 years old. I'm still young enough to hope for the what's on the other end, end of it. And it came and it was great. At 44, it's harder for me to invest that emotional time in waiting for the card to come. And the card seems like it's here, and I can fully acknowledge it. And maybe I'm just waiting for that trigger moment to, for the, like the light bulb to go back on over my head, right. the rainbow colored light bulb for multiple reasons, nice. And have it like, wow, here it is. And maybe it'll come back, you know, but as far as covering the team, I don't know. I don't know if that'll ever come back.
Yeah. I'm so interested in this because, I mean, people that watch the show like every day know one of my big sticks is people's identity in their community that they mm-hmm. find through sports. And obviously this is like the core of what we're trying to do, build a community so people identify with coming to the show and watching the Nuggets together. And that's the part of this whole thing that, like, when I think about what is Denver, there's two Denvers. There's like old Denver and new Denver.
Right.
You, to me, you, Jeff, are like old Denver center bullseye. I'm a lot of this too, I think. Like, I can identify a person that is a Denver native
yeah.
because there are these traits to him. A little, you know, and I mean this with love, a little quirky, a little unique, a little like, you know, just willing to be, you know, a little different or what have you. And then also has this like passion that connects through, you know, that goes beyond just the like, we're cool. Like, you like the Nuggets in part because they're not cool. Like, that's part of what connects you to them.
Definitely. Oh my God!
Like the Lakers are cool. How lame is that?
If you're an underdog, I will love you.
Yeah.
And that is, you know, the closest player, and you're going to laugh at this. The closest player I can identify with on the current Nuggets roster is Michael Porter Jr. And it's completely
clip that. Write that down, Kel.
It's completely because he is by far, if you talk about him,
yeah.
the most discounted person on the roster.
Yeah. And so true.
And I'm like, all right, I like this kid.
You're like, isn't he awesome? Like, are we talking about that guy that makes every shot he takes?
Yeah, and then I listen to him in an interview, and I'm like, well, maybe I shouldn't like
yeah.
him much. But the kind of the overwhelming thing never got that way with me with Will Barton because I knew that he had such a support thing with him in the organization.
Right.
And with Mike, I'm like, I hear this stuff, and I hear people ragging on him, and I'm like, it makes me identify with him a little more, and I hate that because. Literally, I bet you if I had a conversation with him, he and I would not be on the same plane whatsoever.
you both did get that Puma sponsorship, but yes, other
we
than
did.
That,
yeah, other than that, yeah.
Well, yeah. And we both wear you know, ill-fitting LaFonso Ellis jerseys. But,
no, but I mean this sincerely about like, you know, Nuggets Nation is better with you involved, like, and not just you, but people like you. You know, this through line between the real Denverites, the real people, and then of course, like, there's also what makes Denver cool is when it is at its best. Denver is a melting pot between the established identity and culture of Denver that was deficient in a lot of areas, but was also really important in some areas. And then all of the newness that's come to Denver that has mixed with it. And those areas where they haven't mixed, I think is like, I don't want to say problematic. That's too heavy, but they make the city less good sure. in the areas where they don't mix.
You know,
and
you know who's like that is Chris Dempsey. Chris Dempsey is another one. Like, he's an old.
Oh,
old
Denverite. 1,000%. And, you could tell. I'm telling you, I could tell like very quickly. Like, it doesn't take that much work to know who's a Denver person.
And it's like, I remember Chris Dempsey when he had a mustache. But it is.
Man, wow.
I actually can't picture that.
Yeah. But it's just, you get these through lines as you're talking about with people who are like me. John Reedy is like, yeah. John Reedy's very.
Oh, he's a Denver. Are you kidding me?
We are all people who like identify with the underdog aspect of this.
City. Yeah.
And which is to its detriment too, because I think it like, it's almost like a fan who like doesn't like new people coming into their
right.
team, you know?
Right, right.
But I'm just, you know, that is who I am. It's part of my identity. And I think there's a lot more people like that out there than are willing to admit it. But as they get to the age where they're not on social media or they just get sick of like the all the BS and they kind of disconnect. And but we come out of the woodwork when there's something to root for.
Yeah. You know? But this is my point about it is that I see this across on layers. I see this pattern, not just in sports and sports fanhood, but in the city itself. This idea of like that blending between new and old is what makes it cool. And when you lose some part of it, it spirals the wrong way. So when I hear this idea of like, are the Nuggets losing you? Are they losing a certain piece of what makes them who they are? That worries me. And I do think that this isn't the case for you specifically, but it is the case for some people that this television dispute, people always say, yeah, but we just stream it. You can just stream it. I'm always like, not everybody just streams it. And the people that aren't streaming it are mostly the old Denver portion of it. In my experience, that's who I'm talking to, are the my uncles who have watched the Nuggets like you since David Thompson. And they're like, I just can't find this on the channel anymore and this or that. And I'm thinking, we're losing that perfect blend.
We're losing recipes.
Well, you lose the connection to what makes Denver, Denver. But and what gets me about it is that I know people, and you know people, you know people who work at Altitude. And our sympathy for them specifically is great because they're caught in a situation that's not of their own.
They're just workers, man.
They're just people who are just there to make the best product they could possibly make. Yep. So I have my sympathies with them. I have zero sympathy for Josh Kroenke or Stan Kroenke.
They're losing money, though.
They are active. They are active participants in this. And the way Josh tried to discount, I've known Josh for 12 years. I like Josh. The way he answered that question and the way he deflected with losing money on the Avalanche bugged me.
Because we heard it. Like, we feel it more than anyone.
He was like, come on, man. Was framing himself as someone who wasn't participating in the thing that was making it like not being able to see. And that's what bugged me.
I did the math when he was talking about like, you know, eight figures or whatever. Let's assume $10 million or whatever they're losing. And I was like, okay, a person who is worth $100,000, I can't remember what it was. It was like $80 or something like that, like relative to their, and like, he was like, we're tens of millions of dollars we lose. And I was sitting there thinking like, if you told me I could pay $80 and the entire city of Denver could be allowed to watch the Nuggets, I'd be like, I wouldn't consider myself a hero because I was like, here's $80. And he was like, you know, I'm feeling it worse than anyone. Dude, like, come on, man.
Well, what makes it really tough is how he can sell it for billions.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying is like, you're not actually any of this. Yeah. Let's get to a break. We want to get to the fun portion of this. That wasn't a fun conversation, but I want to get to the numbers here because, Jeff, there's some real doozies.
Yeah.
We're going to have some hot debates. I can't wait for it. We're going to have some really bad debates.
Shoehorse, this in for me. That was an interesting conversation sitting between you two because Jeff represents old Denver in so many ways. In many ways, I'm a part of this new Denver thing. Jeff was one of the first people that I met. And Jeff, before you, Adam, got me a job. And so it's kind of interesting. I see someone saying they stay connected through the fandom, through some of the shows like this stuff. And in many ways, you know, you were my introduction to it. So it's just kind of an interesting,
interesting
to sit between the two of you as we talk about this. We should also talk about DraftKings Sportsbook because MMA fans, you know this, as the fighters face off during UFC 277, you can take down your own big win with DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of UFC. This Saturday, new customers can bet $5 on any fighter to win. They get $100 in free bets, win or lose. And if you want even more action, you can also double your winnings on a same game parlay, combine multiple bets like which fighter will win, how long the fight will last, and more. Just place your UFC 277 single game parlay, and if it hits, you'll win double. DraftKings is safe, secure, reliable, and you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want because it's yours, and that's the whole point. Must be 21 or older, Colorado only, new customers only, minimum $5 deposit. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. Jeff, do you brush your teeth every day?
I do.
Do you brush your teeth twice every day?
If the answer was no,
I know,
he'd totally lie to you right now.
Yeah, I know. How often do you go
to
the dentist?
No way to know if he's sincere.
Don't answer that. But I know that not everyone goes to the dentist as often as they should, and that's why we want to tell you about Green Mountain Dental Group, where some of our listeners do their business permanently now, because those listeners know that when you schedule a cleaning, x-ray, and exam, you get a free Sonicare toothbrush. That's a pretty sweet deal. Moreover, awkward dental small talk is pretty tough, especially when they've got sharp tools in your mouth and you're like, I didn't ask you a question. Why are we talking? But the people at Green Mountain Dental Group are extreme Colorado sports fans, just like you, just like me, just like all of us here at DNVR. So skip the awkward small talk and hit up the best damn family owned dentist in the metro.
We back. Jeff, we have the unenviable task right now of declaring the greatest Nugget to wear every single number in the history of the Nuggets. Now, I have our list that we at DNVR made. Really, it was just me. I just made this list for the Nuggets, the Nuggets one.
Yeah.
But, you know, we looked it over. And we're going to give you the answer, but I'll also give you the contestants. Because you actually can Google this. On Basketball Reference, they have every Nugget to wear every single number. Oh, so wow. You can kind of go through. Now, we combine. We're going to start with the number zero. And I'll tell you guys, by the way, today I'm on at the Denver Sports Podcast at 4:30. I'm going to be with AJ Hayfley and RK, two guys that are Denver Sports Almanacs. We made the list as a group at DNVR over the last 2 days, but we're going to kind of talk about that. We'll reveal it at 4, show at 4:30. You can see what Nuggets made the final cut, what Nuggets didn't. Like, some big-name Nuggets did not make it. It's kind of a bummer. We'll go through all that. So another show you want to set your clocks to, because it's going to be a very fun one. Zero and double zero. I went through the list. Do you, off the top of your head, know a zero or double zero that you feel is like, oh, that's the quintessential Nugget?
Chauncey.
Yeah, see, well, when did he wear zero?
2009, 10.
Are you sure?
Yeah. He changed from 7 to 0.
Man, I don't have him live on this
list.
Live fact
checking. So, we'll do it live.
Yeah, actually, you can look these up for him. On Basketball Reference, it has the little jerseys hanging. He's not listed on here, so maybe this list here is a little problematic. What year was it you said he wore it?
He changed it in 2009.
He wore three numbers, I think, for the Nuggets.
The first time, I forget which number he wore.
This is also difficult because there's a lot of instances, Kenyon Martin, like Chauncey Billups, a couple other players. I ended up only going with their best year, so Chauncey Billups to me was number 7 because of 2009. Because 2009. Like, it gets too messy when you start to, like, we can't have a list that has like a bunch of the same guy in four different spots.
He changed his.
I got 4, 3, 1, and 7.
I was going to say, I don't think he was zero, man. I don't remember zero. Wow.
If I was wrong.
Oh, no.
The world may explode.
The world may explode. So I don't have
yes,
him.
Yes, he was 3. Yes, he was 3.
Yeah. Yeah, he had 3 numbers. So No,
he was number 3. And 4, he changed to. That's the one he changed to after 2000 because he started with 7. So, yeah, never mind. Just ignore me. Yeah. In fact, why am I here?
I ended up choosing, this is crazy, because the guys that I think become candidates, you're going to laugh. Some of these are just terrible ones. Like Marcus Howard and, you know, Isaiah Thomas or whatever. You got Darrell Arthur, beloved Nugget.
Double zero.
Yeah. You've got Emmanuel Boudier and you've got Jamichael Green. That's really, and then you're talking about like Gary Forbes, Damari Carroll, Torian Green, like guys that ended up playing 1 year and averaging 2 points.
Yeah.
So to me, Darrell Arthur, Jamichael Green, Emmanuel Mudiay, this isn't the most important one. I ended up going with Darrell Arthur.
It's the right call.
Him and Jamichael Green, kind of the same caliber player. Darrell Arthur here a little bit longer.
Yeah. It has to be Darrell Arthur, only because of length of time.
Yeah.
He embraced Denver. Yeah. He's still a Denver person to this day.
Spoiler alert, he's not the official zero of all Denver sports. He did not win the greatest number zero. Number one, we get a little bit harder here because to your point, Chauncey Billups did wear this between 2010 and 11. He was traded that year. Not exactly a remarkable year for him. I ended up, as I said, going with number 7 for him because it was the most important year that he was here. So you've got Vashawn Leonard. Mahmoud wore this in the 95-96 season, which is kind of tough because that might have been his best season.
Yeah, it was his best season.
You got Michael Porter Jr. In this number. That's kind of it, I believe, unless you have another one you can think of. Donnell Harvey. I actually remember Donnell Harvey.
Yeah.
J.R. Smith wore it for 2 years.
Oh, man.
Is it J.R.?
Mark Mood had a great year in 95-96, but that was also the year he caused his controversy. And he ended up missing several games. So I don't know.
It's tough.
Man.
And honestly, here's a weird question. Was Mark Mood better than Michael Porter? Would Michael Porter have had, he had similar stats anyway, but would he have also stood out on a 11-win team if he just got to shoot the ball the most? Like, what would Michael Porter look like on an 11-win team where he just gets to do what he wants?
You mean YOLO Porter?
YOLO Porter Jr.
Mike Porter Jr. He would probably score like 35 points.
That's my point. Like, I'm not trying to say he is a better Nugget than Mahmoud. That gets to be too tough at the moment. But
also at the same time, Mahmoud's best season, 95-96, they had moved the three-point line.
Yes, exactly. Oh, man, what would MPJ shoot with the three-point line being 2 feet closer?
95%. Yeah. So is there a JR argument here?
There definitely is. I mean, he's a more beloved. Here's the problem with it. It was some of his best, 2007 to 2009. Here's the problem, though. JR Smith was a sixth man.
Yeah, he was.
Michael Porter is a third scorer.
It's not about talent. At that point, it's just, would more people associate J.R. Smith with
I've said this all the time. I wonder how you feel about this. J.R. Smith is just Will Barton, and it tells us something about us as a society that we love J.R. and hate Will Barton.
I got stories about JR are wild.
But wasn't he at bad shots? But sometimes he catches fire. Irrational confidence.
He would pull up from 35, you know, yeah. That sort of thing.
Fun personality.
I am willing to say JR because of the 2-year thing, and Mike hasn't yet.
Yeah.
I mean, he's missed of his 4 years. He's missed 2. So yeah. I mean, I don't know. I what do you
think? I know. Porter's been around a lot more than he's played.
Yes.
That's the tough part of this.
But in theory,
he's the best player.
In theory, communism works.
Number number 2? Who's the best number 2 in Nuggets history? Trick question. There's only one number 2.
I was going to say, is there another one?
There's only a single person to wear number 2. It's Alex English. Yeah. It's the easiest number of all of these ones. I mean,
it didn't even have to. Yeah. Yeah.
I think second best Nugget of all time, my personal opinion. I'd say second. What should I say? Second. Yeah, second best. I'll say second best Nugget. I think he's the third greatest Nugget.
Oh.
I know that's a weird one. I think David Thompson's the second greatest. Wow. I know it's a weird take.
Adam with the hot takes.
I know the hot takes today.
Okay, yeah, you can make an argument. He's the second best Nugget in Nuggets history because of Jokic and his 2 MVPs. But you can also say that he was the head of the most entertaining era in Nuggets basketball in the 80s. So, you know, there's that. I mean, Thompson, he would have been the greatest.
Yeah, he would have been. Yeah.
He would have been.
That's why I say he's greatest, but not best. I don't know. It's a weird
No, I see what you're saying. But
it's also just, there's just the legend of Alex English, which coming here, having missed it, I hear about him as much as any person.
This next one's so tough. Number 3, I have Allen Iverson. Very short tenure, but
year and a half.
The contenders are Mahmoud's rookie years, like first 3 seasons.
Yeah.
DeMar Johnson. You've got Ty Lawson was a number 3. Like, could you possibly? I don't think you can. Allen Iverson, even in 2 years, I think was a greater Nugget than Ty Lawson. And then Bones Highland wearing number 3 has a chance to one day be the best number 3. I mean,
I would say Ty.
You're looking at this list completely different because you're looking at it almost as in their relationship to the Nuggets, and Ty Lawson had, although he wasn't here for that long, and half of the time he was here, not that great.
2009.
Ty was a shooting star.
He was his best year was,
he burned out, he didn't fade away.
His best year statistically was the first Shaw year, and it was, yeah,
it's Allen Iverson.
You know, come on, man, the way we talk about Mike Miller around here,
you think it's him?
No, I'm just saying you forget how short the tenure actually was.
1 year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was 1 year.
Yeah, but he gets talked about all because of the Jokic thing. I hear about him like every week.
Yes.
It's 1 year.
I can't believe you went Ty Lawson. What does the chat say? Inform me what
Torrey Craig.
Well, Ty Lawson or Allen Iverson. It's Iverson to me. I just can't do it. Like, when Iverson got traded to the Nuggets, it was such a big deal.
Chet's saying Ty.
Yeah, but the Chet's young.
Oh, okay.
You can't ask Kale this because he's adjusting the white balance because of my shoulder.
Number 4 is a tough one. You've got Paul Millsap and you got Kenyon Martin. I think those are the guys. You have Chauncey Billups as well, but it's the 99-2000 year. That's not good. That's really who you're going with.
I go with Kenyon.
Over Paul Millsap.
Yeah.
Now it's Kenyon 2008 to 2011.
Yeah. I mean, 2008 and 2009, 10 and 2010-11 were probably Kenyon's best years in Denver.
I went with Kenyon as well, but that was one that I think there is a real conversation to be had about it.
The sneaky argument, right?
2 best free agent signings in Nuggets history.
I was just going to say those are pitted against each other.
Yeah, it's a little bit weird. Number 5 is a tough one because there's a million players that wore it. I actually ended up going with Will Barton here. You had J.R. Smith for 1 year, but again, we got to use him in the year he was most frequently using a number. You get Vashawn Leonard. You get a bunch of guys for a little bit. Your real contenders are Anthony Goldwire, Juwan Howard, and Will Barton. Those are the guys that I think have the most. Mike Evans, too, and Mike Evans.
It's Will Barton.
Mike Evans is good. It has to be Barton.
It's like 8 years he was with the team. Yeah. He's the all-time leading 3-point scorer, like.
I didn't realize Vashawn Leonard wore that number 2. How many numbers did Vashawn
wear? I'm telling you, every Nugget from 98 to 2010, every Nugget has 5 numbers, and it made this exercise impossible. There's going to be so many people that are like, I think it's Kenyon Martin at 6, and you're like, yeah, but we put him 4 because he wore it more, and it's like, how do you, I don't know. It's going to be so tough. All right, Will Barton. Number 6. Again, you have another Kenyon Martin, 2005 to 7. So it's like he's the toughest one because it's half and half, and he honestly was – I don't know, he was in more in his prime early on in his career.
It was, but his best time as a Nugget was early when he was working on that. Right?
So it could be him. There's just nobody else. Walter Davis.
Walt Davis was good.
Aaron Aflalo would be another contender.
Oh, yeah. Triple A.
Number seven, Chauncey Billups wore it only 1 year. It's 2009. It's his best year. We have to count it.
Yeah.
If you think about Chauncey Billups as a Denver Nugget, you think about 2009. Think about
that 2009.
Season. I mean, that was where he was.
Yep. That's where he made his bones.
So even that's though he wore
his bones.
Greg Buckner, close second.
Oh, my God. Greg Buckner.
Number eight. Easy one. Danilo Gallinari. Uh-huh. I think of him as number eight.
I mean, there's no argument.
Is there any other?
Bison Dele. I mean, what was Brian Williams Brian for Williams the Nuggets? But he wasn't. I mean, come on. He wasn't Gallo.
No, he wasn't.
Number nine. Whew, this one's a tough one. Oh, well, Andre Iguodala is technically the best one. Tough break. Tough break for the Nuggets that Andre Iguodala is clearly the best number nine. He had Greg Grant, Tariq Abdul-Wahad, Byron Russell.
Jeremy Grant.
Yeah, Jeremy Grant.
It's kind of a cursed number.
It is a cursed number. You're right. A bunch of traitors at number nine.
I can still picture in my head Andre Iguodala sitting back in his locker room. He said, like, you know how good we're our defense? It's because of me.
It's a good line, man. how tough is that, Andre? We need somebody to come in. There's some numbers that I'm like, if I worked for the Nuggets, I'd be like, listen, you're going to want to be number nine. You could take over that number. Like, you just.
Yes. Please.
Like, who was it with the Nuggets organization when Yoke came in and was like, I want 15? That was like, sure.
Yeah, well, whatever.
Why not?
I don't think anyone's wearing that.
Yeah, what, no, somebody like, hey, why don't you just go for 16? Like, hey, well, hey. You know, Yoke would have been like, okay.
Yeah.
Right, whatever.
Yeah, I don't think he had an affinity for 15 when he came in here.
Didn't even want it. They just handed it to him, like, get this gross jersey out of here.
Yes.
Number 10. I ended up going with, oh God, these numbers, some of them are so bad. Aaron Aflalo! Aaron Aflalo wore this in 2015, for whatever it's worth, but you've got a million players that wore this. Scott Hastings wore number 10. Almost nobody, guys that wore this for more than 1 year, Marvin Webster, mm-hmm. Al Smith, mm-hmm. Grant Simmons. I mean, there's just nobody that wore it for more than one single year. Tim Hardaway. Talk about a cursed number.
Oh my God.
Tim Hardaway's career came to a crashing halt wearing number 10 for the Nuggets.
I'd say Marvin Webster.
Really?
Yeah.
Marvin Webster would be the guy that you would put there.
He was the guy that, he was.
Educate me about Marvin Webster.
Marvin Webster was the number one draft pick in the 1975, or number two or three.
75, he was after, 70, 75,
he was drafted the same year as Thompson. And both of those guys chose Denver over the NBA. And he, like the first 3 years, I think he was on the Nuggets for 3 years, and then he left, and then he came back. But guy was like a beast, absolute beast. Would have been a starting center on any other team.
He averaged 6 points per game.
Yeah, just as he was backing up Issel.
This is... Is this going to get Scott Hastings mad at you again?
I mean, perpetually mad at me. He's like, I'm the best number 10 ever for the Nuggets. Like, come
Scotty
on, man.
Did Scotty get mad at you? Scotty would never get mad at me, so like,
I'll take one time he did get mad at me. This was years ago. This was maybe funny. 5 years ago. Was on altitude one time with Vic, and he asked me something about – we were talking about the evolution of the center position. I was like, you know, today I used to get away with bigs that – all they would do is foul guys and rebound or this or that. And I was like, in today's NBA, the center has to be a little more positionally versatile. And he's like, you think all I did was foul, don't you? And I was like,
just beelined it for
you. He was actually for real mad, too. It was pretty funny.
Oh, man.
Number 11. I think it's Monte Morris, Mr. Nugget.
Oh, let's go.
You've got Birdman.
Oh,
you've got Birdman. You've got Earl Boykins. You've got Earl Boykins and Birdman. You have a lot of six-man, bench.
Oh, man.
Beloved bench players here.
I've never seen a Nuggets player more popular than Chris Anderson.
I mean, he was a supremely
popular. Gotta go Birdman there.
Dude, the Monte may actually have been pound for pound more popular. Birdman was a cult. I know he's cult figure popular.
It just is
easy. Birdman was the face of the Nuggets.
They were wearing the mohawk.
I know, it's just easy to, when you have a hair, it's easy. Manimal was so popular, and part of it is the hair.
It was unbelievable. I've never seen a player less deserving of this such popularity.
So would you do Birdman over again, this is not most popular, most beloved. We're trying to do greatest. So who was the greater Nugget, Monte Morris or Chris Anderson?
In the end, we're talking about backups here. So, I mean, it's like it's
or Earl Boykins. You can, if you want to stand for Earl Boykins here.
I refuse to. I just remember him pounding the air out of the ball and then jacking a 40-foot shot.
Talk about beloved Nuggets. Are you kidding me? But you know what Earl Boykins was? He was Will Barton in Monte Morris's body. Yes, and again, 10 years ago, we loved that guy. We're just like, hey, oh my God, 3 of 14? Yeah, hell yeah. Let's go.
I'll by default say Monte. Yeah.
It's close. Any one of those answers to me seem fair. They all had impacts on the team they were on. Chris Anderson's impact, I think, was actually sneaky underrated.
And chats with you guys that he was more popular than Monte.
I actually don't think that's close.
Monte's
more popular with us. Yeah. The diehard. Birdman was like your neighbor was asking you about Birdman.
My first interaction with Monte Morris, I interviewed him at the draft that was 2017 draft, so everything was depressing after that one. But I remember interviewing him, and I don't remember what I said to him, but I inadvertently, and I totally did not mean to, insulted him. And I don't think he talked to me ever again.
Let's fly through a couple more before our break. Number 12, I mean, by the way, any of those guys, Monte might be the third most popular of those guys. If you talk about Eras Monte, I think it goes Birdman, Boykins, very close, and then Monte, a noticeable gap below those guys in popularity. Yep. Number 12. Fat Lever, easiest choice there is. He's one of the greatest Nuggets ever. There are a lot of people that have worn the number, including Birdman, DJ Augustine, Jarnell Stokes most recently. Yeah. Fat Lever, are you going to get his jersey retired? I feel like Fat Lever is in the right near the cutoff.
He did have his jersey retired.
Why do people still wear it then? Oh, you're right. It just happened. You're right. I forgot about that. You're right. The Nuggets just fell asleep for 20 years. They just were like, what are we doing?
So I fell asleep on the Chauncey Billups zero thing.
There you go. You're right. It happened so recently. It's the same with Mutombo. It's like hilarious that they just one day were like, you know what? Let's retire Mutombo's jersey. Like, hold on. What? Well, he hasn't been here for 20 years.
When you get people who buy a team that only know the team from their point of buying the team.
They had to do some catch up.
Yeah.
Number 13. Let's get all the way up. Let's get two more in here. Number 13. I put Corey Brewer. Again, not a great number. Monte Toe. Is it Tau or Toe? I know.
Monte Toe,
5'6". Hey, the Faku before Faku.
Yes.
It'd be like if Faku was Jokic's best friend.
He and David Thompson were on the North Carolina State team, so that's why they had that connection. And I think that's probably the only reason Monte Toe.
It's really more like if Vlatko Chanchar was 5'6".
Yep.
They're like, let's just have him on the team. But he was on the team for a while.
Jeff size.
Yeah. And then number 14, we ended up going with Michael Adams. This was a tough one because you've got Gary Harris, who was a very good Nugget. You got Michael Adams, who's now second, I believe, all time in 3-point makes. You got Robert Pack. Actually, some good number 14. Yeah. You know what number 14 is? 14 is the underground. Cult favorites, man. You got Robert Pack. You got Michael Adams. You got Gary Harris. Those are like right below the mainstream.
Okay, now I understand why you sent me that text.
I was going back and forth on this one for Jeff.
Is it Gary? What do you think?
No, I go with Michael Adams.
I think it's Michael Adams.
Yeah, because of the 3-point. I mean, the guy pioneered.
Gary was very close to passing it, which would have been a funny little.
Yeah, it would have been. Yeah, it would have been. But it's just during the era, no one shot 3 points like he did. So
Robert Pack was kind of dope too. Like he's another one. Like honestly, he's going to be one of the best third place finishers for
best,
a number.
Best Nugget dunk in in-game dunk in Nuggets history, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I mean that's what he's known for too. And he was short, man. When we saw him in real life, I was like blown away. How
came in second in the dunk contest in 1994.
Well, there you go. All right, let's take a break. On the other side. Number 15. Easy one, but it makes for good conversation. Yes,
it does.
Also number 16. The biggest drop-off between one numbers as you will ever see.
Breckenridge Brewery is the official brewery and beer of DNVR. Beers on tap, regular seltzers being sold in the bar as well. We love Breck Brew, and if you love us, we hope you love Breck Brew and you'll support them as well. They've got the beer for any occasion. And the best beer for watching this show or watching your beloved Nuggets is the Mile High City Kapa Laga, which is not from Boston. Accent not required to drink or enjoy.
Actually, really inappropriate.
Yeah, they don't do it. But it's the sleek blue can with the Nuggets design right on there. It's real drinkable. It's real delicious. Whether you're trying to find the Copper Lager or any of Breck Brew's wonderful selections, check out the Breck Beer Locator. Google that. Tell it where you live. Tell it what you're looking for. It will tell you where to go. Nice and easy, just like that. And you can drink that Mile High CB Copper Lager while you're watching the Denver Nuggets on Ivaca TV. Because thanks to Ivaca TV, you don't have to be left in the dark anymore. You can watch the Nuggets. You can watch the Avs. you can watch the Rapids because they have local networks like Altitude Sports, AT&T Sportsnet, other national channels, even a little DNVR channel. Ivaca's growing constantly and they're adding new channels to their lineup. They want to they want you to join them. The service is available in Denver and Colorado Springs, and if you want to know how to get it, I've got the answer. Go to ivaca.tv/DNVR. That's ivaca.tv/DNVR, and then use the promo code DNVR. You'll get $10 off your first 3 months. That's only $15 per month for the first 3 months plus receiver. Ivaca TV, they get the people going.
Back here, we got to get into number 15. Carmelo Anthony, obviously, 2004 to 2011, had it on lock until he broke the hearts of everyone in Denver and left for New York. Still would have had it on lock if not for some reason Jokic just walking in and grabbing that number. Hilarious. It's funny to me that some people would have Carmelo as the second greatest Nugget ever. I personally don't, but I don't care. Like, I love Melo. It's funny to me that he doesn't have his own, he doesn't own a number in Denver. It's actually hilarious to me.
I blame the Nuggets for this. This would not be an issue if they hadn't of just if they gave Jokic, as we were talking about, number 16.
Yeah.
So if they would have done that, it would have been. But this is on the Nuggets, and it goes to their terrible relationship with Carmelo Anthony after he left. And I honestly, like I said, the blame goes directly to this because Melo is going to be a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
And like he's number seven. And in New York, but the number he wore for almost 8 years here in Denver is going to belong to a better player.
Yeah,
but it's it's like almost overtly and to me like disrespectful because I think of hard feelings that happened with the trade.
Well, also let's be real. When Jokic picked number 15 or whatever he got it, there's no way anybody's like, this is going to be an issue. Like when he came in, they were like, they didn't even know who this guy was. Nick Jokic, like they didn't know who it is. And all of a sudden it's like, oh my God, this guy's awesome. And now he's a two-time MVP.
It's amazing. And it's like, it is what at this point it is what it is. Yeah. And
it's Jokic's number to me.
It's Jokic's number. And Carmelo, the Nuggets should mend fences with Melo, I think.
I do too.
Melo should make
it. It's funny, mend fences though is like, what do you need to do? Just be like, have him here to.
Well, Melo should make an effort.
Yeah.
And he's never made an effort.
By the way, this is a similar thing a little bit with George Karl. There's like the Nuggets need to mend the fence there as well. Mm-hmm. George needs to mend the fence with the Nuggets as well. Like there's a little bit of. There's a little bit of both.
Column A, a little column A,
a little column B. Number 16. This has an easy answer.
This is my favorite one.
There's an easy answer, guys. Kostas Papanikolaou, the only Nugget to wear 16, therefore the greatest Nugget to wear 16. If I'm Christian Brown, if I'm Peyton Watson, just pick number 16.
Yeah.
You get to be the greatest to ever wear it if you score one basket. If you just have one basket.
His nickname was the Greek Army Knife.
That's not even a good
Papa
name.
Papanikolaou, he was here, what, 2015?
He was here for Ty Lawson was traded for Kostas Papanikolaou.
You may not remember. I mean, you should remember this, Adam. There's people who are angry he wasn't getting more playing time.
Yeah, of course.
And I'm like, what is wrong with you people? Have you seen this man play?
2016 was a hilarious. If you go back in time, same with Joffrey LeVerne. Like everybody was like, he needs more minutes. Like, come on, guys. Like,
I mean, no.
You just play Jokic and we'll figure out the rest later. After that, number 17, Joe Wolf. I actually did the math on this. There's three players, Vincent Askew, Johnny Taylor, and Joe Wolf. Joe Wolf, by far the best.
Joe Wolf, there was an actual fandom dedicated to Joe Wolf when he was here.
Wow.
Joe Wolf was the best.
It's a good name.
He was on the Nuggets twice, and the guy, he was just your typical white stiff. Of course. He had longish blonde hair.
It was Tom Welsh.
Number 19, Lonnie Lynn. No, 1970, played 1 year, averaged a point.
Yeah,
so who knows. Number 20, we get back into some guys that actually wore a number. You're wearing it right now. We actually, for some reason, originally had on here Matt Calvin, who, by the way, happy birthday, Matt Calvin. Yeah, shouts to him. It's his birthday. He's part of the ABA Nuggets are just forgotten. Yep. Like, you never hear about him. He was, I think, the third leading scorer on that team, or maybe second leading scorer. David Thompson's there. Bobby Jones is there. Yep. And then you have Matt Calvin. Not that it was a big three, but you could maybe argue at that time or something like the 65 win Nuggets team. But again, you never hear about it.
Matt Calvin was the star of that 65. That Nuggets team, that was Larry Brown's first year. Bobby Jones was here. But Mac Calvin was the starring. It was the last year they were in the old Auditorium Arena too.
So. Yeah. But of course, that's LaPhonso Ellis's number. Even though he had a cursed career, he was such a beloved Nugget and had a very good peak, albeit short.
I actually cried when he got injured. I was that upset because my favorite player of all time, and he got injured doing a pickup basketball with Bryant Stith. Right. And it was like, oh my God, it was so frustrating. But anyway.
Yeah,
it's obviously him.
That's the cursed era. Number 21's funny. It might be Wilson Chandler. You can go Nahara. I don't know who else. Tom Hammonds it has the number. I don't know if there's a case for those guys over Claude Terry, who I don't know, but
has to be Will.
Wilson was there. He just was kind of an important Nugget in two different eras. I mean, he was an important for the 2013 era. He was an important one for the lead up to this Jokic era, right before they made the playoffs.
I agree.
Nahara, also a role player. Like, those guys are the same. They're role players.
Eddie was very popular, but he did not have the impact of
that. Yeah. So. Number 22. I did not pick one. I'm just looking at it. You know who most famous number 22, perhaps, in Nuggets history? Yeah. Nikola Skidasvili. That might be the most high profile. Like, what could have been? What could have been? God.
What could have been was, if he had played better.
Julian Hammond way back in the day.
Tim Legler.
Tim Legler there for a stint for the Nuggets. Yeah, 1 year. Ricky Pierce wore it for a year. So, I mean.
No.
Ruben Patterson.
Ricky Pierce did not actually play. They just gave him
him a number.
Yeah.
Ruben Patterson, Von Wafer. There's no real good answer. Zeke Nagy. I mean, Zeke Nagy has a chance to seize that number. That's how available it is. Just give us anything. 23 is T.R. Dunn. You could give Nurkic. You can give Bryant Stith, actually.
I would go
Bryant Stith.
Bryant Stith.
Bryant Stith is probably the guy right there.
Yeah,
Bryant Stith.
It has to be him.
24. You get Bobby Jones at 24. You get Antonio McDice and Andre Miller.
Oh, I mean, my to me, God, that's going to be hard.
Well, here's the other thing. You have Spencer Haywood for 1 year wearing 24, I know. It's like, if you actually went pound for pound, who was the best 24? It's Spencer Haywood because he had like an incredible season.
He averaged like 30 points and 17 rebounds for an entire season. It's insane.
All-star is a rookie, I believe. Like, come on.
Oh, and, let's just do that then.
And interesting man to talk to. Very interesting man to talk to.
But Antonio McDice is who I think of at 24, and Andre Miller is a little bit who I think of. I think it's really between those when we talk about greatest Nugget. You also have Hanslick.
Hanslick is notable for Mo screaming expletives into like near the radio mics about him. But
he was a big character.
He was kind of like in the Kurt Rambis Lakers kind of character kind of thing.
every team had one Hanslick.
They did. But I'd go with Dice because he made the most impact. Yeah. But Andre Miller,
Mason Plumlee refused to guard Anthony Davis.
That was a huge impact. I think I put Spencer Haywood down, but I'm with you. I would go with McDice. It didn't matter ultimately.
It's hard for me with Haywood because he actually had better years with the Sonics.
Yeah, of course. You have to factor that in too.
And it's for me with Dice. He's the guy who had the most impact with that thing. And I'd go with
Anthony. Here's another tough one. 25. I ended up giving it to Anthony Carter. It's not a great number. You got Mozgov. You got Roy Rogers for a year in 2000. Dan Issel did wear it, though, in 1976-77. For some again, I hate when these Nuggets do it. So it doesn't count for him, even though that he probably would have won it just on the year alone. But I ended up instead going to Anthony Carter, who's kind of an important Nugget, albeit not exactly a great one. But 26, there is none. 27, Jamal Murray, I think already. Like, you got Johan Petro. That's basically it. There's nobody there.
What, you're putting him in there above Frenchie? I am shocked and appalled.
I will tell you, sadly, Jamal Murray, you could probably guess it. There's some good 27s in Colorado sports history.
Yes.
And so he's going to have a tough
He's not getting in above Steve Atwater?
I'm just saying it's going to be a really tough one. It's going to be a tough one. 28, the greatest 28 Nuggets history, Jameer Nelson.
Hell yeah.
It was either him or Robert Worden.
Again, was it just... Did he wear multiple numbers?
No, Jameer.
Jameer.
He's 1 year, dude.
It's just 1 year? God, man. Both he and Miller feel like they had a bigger impact than that to me.
Yeah. Number 29, Calbert Chaney.
Oh, my God. Calbert Chaney? Oh, my God. That must be dire.
Yeah, we're getting dire. We'll keep it moving, though. Number 30, George McGinnis. What can you tell me about him?
I good three-point shooter and beat the crap out of Ron Mercer.
Reggie Evans, this is the rebounding Reggie Evans wore it for 1 year in 2007. Maybe you could make it.
There's people who are in the chat right now who probably remember the story about George McLeod just beating the crap out of Ron Mercer at an Orlando Magic Nuggets game.
During the game?
No, after.
After, I was going to say, yeah. I don't, yeah. Number 31 is Nene's number. I think he owns that one. Nick Van Exel also wore it. But ooh. Van Exel, a little bit of a flash of the pan for the Nuggets.
Yeah, and Van Exel was here for what, four seasons?
Yeah.
And didn't really want to be here almost 10 years.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you have to give it to Nene.
32. Let's get down to 32. What did I pick here? Larry Jones. Some of these numbers have a lot of people like Jeff Green, Noah Vonleh, Julius Hodge, Ryan Bowen. Like, you get guys that all wore it, but nobody that was like a standout. I went Larry Jones. ABA guy, or yeah, early days, yeah.
I'll do respect to my
28 points and 7 rebounds. Like,
I'll do respect to my boy, Ryan Bowen. There's just,
he's not one of the 50 greatest Nuggets ever, according to the Nuggets.
Nor would he say he was.
I wonder how he felt about this. The biggest number, we're in the 303, number 33. David Thompson's number. David Thompson, again, I think just like he's the Wilt Chamberlain of the Nuggets.
Yep.
You know, like his legend is greater almost. Like, he's a guy that the stories of him are so insane.
Well, it is. If you see some of the highlights of him, it doesn't.
And
they don't even do him justice because his gravity, as you know, the first time I ever heard someone say gravity was actually you in reference to this sort of thing.
Yeah.
And his gravity was immense. Teams were terrified of him. So
also number 33, Larry Walker, Patrick Waugh. It's the ultimate number of Denver
players.
It's the ultimate number, man. So number 36, Reggie Williams, the good Reggie Williams. Actually, that's not right. Do I have this wrong? Did I put him in the wrong spot? I guess I did. Oh, no, that's 34. 34. I'm sorry. I'm on 34.
Yeah.
Reggie Williams. Reggie Williams. And he did it 5 years.
That's who I was thinking was Reggie.
Yeah. So he should be there. Your only other contenders are JaVale McGee. Again, beloved. So maybe people go there, but come on. Let's get up to some good ones here. Number 35.
PJ Dozier.
Do you have a 35 on top of your head?
Silence falls over the room.
It's Kenneth Faried.
Kenneth Faried.
The Manimal.
He's the. I mean, as much as I got frustrated with the popularity of Kenneth Faried sometimes because it was based on the movement of his hair when he went to go dunk, I think that legitimately his impact in hindsight was a lot greater than that. And I think that well deserving as of having the best.
That's got to be
36. Sean L. Scott, only guy to wear it. Don't think he played.
I don't recall.
But he's the greatest 36 ever.
Yes.
No 37, 38, 39. Now we get up to 40, which is the first Nuggets jersey ever retired, which is Byron Beck. You look up, I don't know anything about Byron, but he's like, he retired real early. He played 1 year in the NBA. So he played with the Rockets in the ABA. The Nuggets in the ABA, and then the Nuggets in the NBA. He's there for like important stretches of Nuggets basketball.
Yeah.
Very important stretches. He never was that great, as far as I can gather statistically. Like, he was never a top two Nugget.
I think he's worth it because you can mark his career from DU all the way through the entirety of the Nuggets ABA experience to the first year of the NBA. He had a great hook shot. My dad loved him. My dad was one of his favorite players was Byron Beck. He did have a following and he was respected here. Very nice man, by the way. Extremely nice man. Byron Beck, I think, was worth it just for the impact thing. I don't think you can look at his statistics and say that it was rivaling any of the other people whose numbers
have been done. It's also one of those things, like, this is where the Nuggets have done such a bad job of telling their own story, is that if you just want to know about Byron Beck, like, what made him special or interesting, won't find it.
Nope.
If you go, like, the NBA, there's, like, an official page of everybody where they give a little bio. Page not found for Byron Beck. I'm not kidding.
We're not sure he played.
There's 7 jerseys retired. He's one of them. And if you want to find out more information, page not found.
He is one of the guys who was impacted about the settlement that the NBA had just now for, like, giving these players retirement. He is going to be part of those people because he spent his entire career in the ABA. So,
do you remember the episode of The Office where the Dunder, whatever Dunder comes in, the guy that founded Dunder Mifflin, and like nobody knows who he is or anything about him, and he gives a speech and then they push him out the door? I feel like that's Byron Beck. That's like, probably. Ladies and gentlemen, a legendary nugget. All right, time for you to leave. Like, we don't need to actually.
He was there. Retired. The night they honored him, right? They honored all the number of retirees. And I was the only person that was over there talking to him. And I was looking around. And then finally Terry Fry showed up and, you know, he started talking to him. But I was like, man, we got to do this. But it's like, it's true. No one knows. The Nuggets have done such a terrible job of respecting their own history.
Right. All right, we got to fly through some of these. 41, I went with Blair Rasmussen. I don't really know this before my time. James Posey would be the biggest contender. Who's the greater Nugget?
Blair Rasmussen.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Kind of a stiff, though, no?
Yeah, he was.
He's our stiff. He's like the Mozgov of 1988.
He was a stiff and he got an enormous contract though. I mean, he got like one of the biggest contracts in the NBA from the Atlanta Hawks. So
number 42 is interesting. It's Wayne Cooper, who I gather is better than Blair Rasmussen.
Yes, yes. But
he won this one. There's a lot of players that wore it. Lonnie Wright. But at the very, you know, way back, Joe Wolf again, your guy, Mark Randall, Ryan Bowen, Scott Williams. Like, I think it's Wayne Cooper.
I don't know. Are you sure you don't want Mark Randall in there? Nuggets in-game entertainment guy.
You get to number 43, Linus Klaza.
Nice.
I know. It's funny. There's nobody that he's really contending with either. You get past him, and then you get to Dan Issel at 44, which is a very interesting one. Very interesting one. I would argue if you talk about important Nuggets, he rises up. Like, if you talk about greatest Nuggets, English and Melo and Thompson, you're going to make a list of over, like, when you just talk about the greatest. But when you talk about important ones, he's the more games than anyone. Mm-hmm. I think he's top five in almost every single statistical category. And he was a GM and he was a coach twice. I think he's actually the fifth most winningest coach now of all time in Denver Nuggets history, which is another little added bonus. Issel's a very important Nugget.
Dan Issel is the first real stretch five in NBA history, even though he was really a
stretched
four.
It out to 8 feet. No, yeah, no he, 15
he,
yeah, feet.
He did the old head fake and he would get Kareem to run by him. And then it was like clockwork, but he was the only center in the NBA in the 70s and 80s who was really shooting jumpers. Yeah. All of them were post players. So that's really where his impact was. And he's the coach. His biggest impact is the coach of the 94 Nuggets.
Yeah.
I mean, other than being a Hall of Fame player. And as for when I think of Denver Nuggets, I think of Dan Issel.
Issel's final act, he kind of went out disgracefully. Yeah. Obviously, he had a racial slur that he yelled at a Hispanic person in the crowd or Mexican person in the crowd.
Yeah.
And it was really his final act. And it's a shame for obviously a multitude of reasons. But one of them is there's few people that have as many through lines in the history of the Nuggets as Dan Issel. He's one of those guys that I think was important for tying it all together. And when he went out in a way that we know when someone gets canceled, rightfully so, mm-hmm. that it like, okay, we lost that guy that ties together the ABA, the David Thompson, Alex English, LaFonso. Well, he ties together four decades of Nuggets and kind of have to disappear.
Look at his career just with the Nuggets. I mean, he won a ABA title with the Kentucky Colonels with him and Artis Gilmore. But from 75 to 85, Nuggets went to the ABA Finals and the Western Conference Finals twice.
Yeah.
Not a single player has had that level of success in Nuggets history.
Right, right. Really interesting one with him. Then you get to number 45, Rafe LaFrentz, I think, wins it.
Oh, my God.
Rafe LaFrentz, a guy that was better than he get credit for. He wasn't a savior.
His injury his rookie season like completely destroyed him.
Jeff might argue for his guy Stephen Hunter here. Did you see the Nuggets did the who's the first player you think of when you see this logo?
Really?
And Jeff said Stephen Hunter.
There you go.
You're such a liar.
And he replied to me, I don't believe you.
I think you're lying, Jeff.
There's been nobody aware 46, 47, 48, 49, but there have been lots of people to wear 50. I think the best of whom is Aaron Gordon. Kind of funny.
Wow.
Most memorable one. 51, Michael Doliak.
Michael Doliak.
So he
wins
another
one of my answers to that question, by the way.
There you go. Number 52, you have Jordan McRae, Terry Davis, Norm Cook, Julius Key, and Larry Bunce.
Let's give it to Jordan McRae.
I have no idea.
Can we give it to Jordan McRae?
53, Rich Kelly, Cliff Livingston, and Jerome Allen.
Oh, Cliff Livingston. Title-winning Cliff Livingston.
Well, there you go. 54, Rodney Rogers wore it for one season. We got to give. I think he wins it. You've also got Popeye Jones for a season. 55. I love this one. Dikembe or Kiki?
Yeah, we're going to go with Dikembe.
They're going to go with Dikembe on this one. Number 56, Francisco Elson.
Yes.
That's it. Number 77, Joffrey Laverne. He wins it. And number 94, Evan Fournier.
Hey, so did he choose 94?
Yeah.
What yeah, because it was the year he was born.
Oh.
You think they just like gave him 94?
Yeah, it doesn't say like a number. Someone's like, my first pick, 94.
I think for the longest you couldn't be, you had to be a number below five, yeah. And then you had to be a second number below five.
Yeah.
So that's you couldn't, and then they open it up to something.
Yeah, they did. And I remember...
Or you could be 1 through 10, I guess, because it's two hands.
Evan was one of my favorite people to interview ever. He was unvarnished, and he would just swear. I had to, when I was doing transcriptions, I had to edit out vast portions of the interview because it was just nothing but, you know, just every swear word you could possibly think.
Man.
It was amazing.
So, to spoiler alert, again, we have the show, the Denver Sports Podcast, where we're going to talk about the numbers. Then we're going to compare all these Nuggets numbers we just talked about. Where do they compare to the Avs? Best Avs at the number, Rockies and Broncos, of course. And I'll tell you right now, 9 Nuggets made the top. Out of 0 to 99, 9 Nuggets make the list. And some of the all-time greatest, including some of the retired Nuggets jerseys, did not make the cut. And it pains me. It doesn't. There's more all-time great Nuggets than there are. If you did the top 100, there would probably be like 15 of them would be Nuggets.
Right.
But it just so happens that a disproportionate number of them share a number with a slightly greater Av or Bronco or Rocky, and it's wild.
I bet there was someone who's like in this round table of people debating, you know, like great minds debating these numbers. I'm sure there was someone who said argued for Brandon Marshall over Nikola.
Yeah, right. Can you imagine though if Peyton Manning was 15 or something? Like, oh, the arguments we'd have. Because first of all, Jokic greater Nugget than Peyton Manning was a Bronco.
Yes.
I'm just sorry, he's a 2-time MVP. What have you? Longevity, this or that. But it would have been the worst because you know he would have lost that battle. It would have been like whatever.
I just think this is, always in the back of my mind, this is Denver. They're going to advocate for the Broncos so much. Whatever.
I will tell you, there are a lot of Broncos, more than half. But a lot of this has to do with numbers above 50 are not common in most sports, and they're very common in football. So there's a lot of 50 and above. Jeff, this was fun, man. Yeah, it's quite good having you in studio. Walk down memory lane on multiple fronts.
Well, this is my function. I am the surrogate memory for everyone. I like keep track of everything,
and then
they come to me when they need to remember something about the Nuggets. Now I can't remember anything for basic life function, but I can remember something
Chauncey's jersey number, Jeff?
No, not that one.
I tell you, I saw.
I'm letting you live that.
But it's not. It's important. I don't remember it.
I this is so true. I saw a stand up on TikTok or something where it's like I use my wife like I use the cloud. I'm like, babe. I sent that there. Like, where is this thing? It's like you have that stored in your brain, right? Like,
that's so true.
Funny. Everybody, thanks so much. Be sure to follow Jeff Moore and be sure to follow out the CSG Colorado Sports Guys podcast and all this stuff. And just follow him on Twitter. He's a funny person.
I tweet very randomly.
Hit that like button on the way out. We'll see you guys tomorrow.